Hey there, this is Nick and Michael here with Superhero Training, and we are welcoming you to this week's special theme, and it is following the Essene model, Peace with the Heavenly Father, otherwise known as God or the Great Spirit. And just before we get into this, we just want to say that it goes with the follow-up to this, which is Peace with the Earthly Mother, which will be coming after this. So the model that we're following here is that there is a feminine and masculine aspect to life, and we are dealing with the masculine animating principle now, the principle of life that gives its spirit to everything and brings everything to life, without which there would be no life at all. And far be it from us to preach to you what God is, but what we can say that it is an experience, a very unique individual experience, very wonderful experience, and we're going to be talking about that experience over the course of this video and sharing that experience with you. Isn't that right, brother?
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, I'm sure you've read plenty of books and there's plenty of opinions about absolutely everything, especially the topic of God, and it's a very controversial topic in many circles. And we just want to give you the experience, share some of our insights and what really works for us. And like Nick was saying, you know, God, or in this case the Heavenly Father, is, you could say, the creator, and then Heavenly Mother, or the Earthly Mother, is like the creation, you know. A lot of people mix these two things together and think that it's all just one big thing, and God is punishing them, and God is blessing them, and God is this, and God's moving the trees, and this whole thing becomes very enmeshed together, and no one knows what's God, what's this, what's that, and the whole thing is very confusing. So we're trying to help bring a bit of clarity to this, so that you can actually connect with this beautiful energy known as God, have that relationship, you know, heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul relationship with this being, and receive that nourishment.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So how would you like to be able to tap into the most powerful energy in the world, an energy that transcends the world, and it gives you strength, it gives you courage, it gives you clarity instantaneously? And we're well into this superhero training now, and I'm sure you've been experiencing this more and more and more as you've been going along. But what we're doing here in this particular section is fine-tuning this and really clarifying the subtleties and deepening the experience. And the consequences of this, of course, are instant relief from stress, confusion, worry, doubts, fears, anxieties, and all of these things. So this opportunity is available to us 24/7, and the only reason we are suffering at any time is because we're ignoring it. So we're going to be practicing and clarifying how to really tap in and enjoy this immensely liberating presence.
So you might be wondering, why is it so wonderful, so beneficial for you to connect with the Heavenly Father, to connect with this divine energy? Well, first of all, you have the opportunity to have bliss on tap. Isn't that wonderful, brother? Be able to pour your own glass of bliss whenever you want. That is really that energy that's available to us. Also, when you have peace with this beautiful energy, you become aligned with the universe, because you are connected with everything in the most harmonious way. Your ego is not in the way. And if you're aligned with the universe, then whatever you do has that support, with the divine energy supporting you and the world energy. You know, the universal forces are supporting you as well. So you have support on all levels. Rather than having this niggling feeling that maybe you're working from the ego, maybe you're working from this lower places, and that, of course, sabotages our plans. So if you get fully aligned, you're supported on all levels, then your life is infinitely more wonderful.
Mm.
What else, bro?
Well, there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of variations on this theme in the world today. Pseudo-spirituality in many, many, many guises. And lots of people are tapping into those and kind of window shopping in many ways and flitting around like a French lady in a Knickers store, having a look at all these different things that they can try on. And the result of these pseudo-spiritual methods and techniques and philosophies is that they don't actually liberate you from anything. They don't give you that sense of joy and bliss and peace, deep, deep peace and empowerment that the real deal does. And so the proof is in the pudding. So the benefits, the very obvious benefit of tapping into the real deal is instant shift in state and liberation from discordant feeling states and psychological patterns. And that's a very, 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 very wonderful, wonderful thing. And so we don't have to validate it in any other way, philosophically or otherwise, other than the way it makes it feel, the very obvious effect of it. So we like that. We really like that. So benefits, you're getting real, getting into the real deal, and that's only good news.
That's right. And you also get massive relief, because if we're not in alignment with this truth, then we actually feel deep in our heart we're doing something wrong. And I bet if you check into your solar plexus, into your heart now, you, some of you might feel, am I all right? There might be some level of guilt, some level of shame, some level of confusion, something that's a little bit uneasy, because we all know we've spent a long time doing things from our ego, from a state of madness. So when you connect to this energy, what you're doing is you're purifying all of this negativity out and cleaning out your heart, cleaning out your soul, letting it all become pure. And so all those feelings dissolve away. And then the other thing, which is extremely important, is that I'm sure you're aware by looking at the world that a lot of people are paying off their karma. There's all sorts of terrible things happening that are waking people up. Most people are being woken up through pain and punishment in various forms, through losing their jobs, through having emotional dramas, through relationships, through health. Pretty much every aspect of human life is being used to disturb them. So if you can liberate yourself through these methods, through connecting with this beautiful power source, then you don't need to learn through pain. And that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That means you don't need to suffer. It means you don't need to lose your job. It means you don't need to lose your mind. It means you don't need to have terrible relationships. You can have a beautiful life and just learn your lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And that is massive thing to be able to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas everyone else might be totally losing it, you won't need to.
Mm. Wonderful, yeah. So we're talking about purifying on very, very, very deep, 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 deep levels. The persona sort of grows out of the soul, and the soul has immense depth. And there are all kinds of vibrations stored in there from discordant ways of being through the generations and the ages. And we have the opportunity in this practice to take this communion with this great spiritually liberating power into the depths of our soul and cleanse, literally cleanse it all. And we're creating a pure container, and the great experience of that, probably the greatest benefit of all from this practice, is that we then experience ourselves as God wants us to be, as we're originally designed to be, our original nature, which at the moment is something maybe even beyond the imagination of our wildest possibilities. And so it's a fabulously exciting opportunity, this, and great work we're doing here as we surrender more and more and more to this experience, and experience the bliss and the liberation from all of those things and many more that Michael was just talking about.
So what else is going to happen through this beautiful practice, brother?
Well, you're going to be able to manifest your pure desires very quickly and very, very, very efficiently. Almost as soon as you have the thought, things happen. And you've probably been noticing that, how quickly circumstances and energy and resources and people move to your aid as you become more and more empowered. Your pure desires manifest very, very quickly because they're in line, they're in alignment with your soul purpose, which God is fully behind, absolutely 100% behind that, but is in no way whatsoever behind your ego desires. But there is a power in the world, and seemingly a very powerful force in the world. It appears to be very powerful through the impressionable eyes of the ignorant ego, that will help you manifest what we might term your impure desires. They're coming from your lower self or your ego self. So there's two things at work here, and what we are emphasizing in this part of the training is really aligning with the power that is right behind helping you and wanting you to manifest your pure desires, aligned with your soul purpose, aligned with your dharma, aligned with your mission in life as a superhero. And this is a wonderful thing. And one little addition to that is that as we purify more and more and more, and we create that pure container that can actually handle the power of God, then we become who we are designed to be, and we manifest, we go through this extraordinary transmutation, a biological, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual transmutation, a metamorphosis, complete change from who we were and what we were and how we oriented ourselves into something quite different and very, 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 very extraordinary. Hence the superhero archetype, the superhero is born. So this is a miraculous and wonderful process, but purification is necessary first.
That's right. And another thing that people often ask us is, you know, how to get in touch with their higher selves. How do I get in touch with my higher self? How do I have higher consciousness? These kind of questions, how to meditate, how to tap into that. So really, if you think about it, if you want to learn higher consciousness, you need to learn it from people who practice higher consciousness or who have higher consciousness. And who better to learn from than the supreme, highest consciousness, highest on high, divine, powerful being of all in the whole universe, and connect with that. So the reason that having peace with the Heavenly Father is so important is because in order to understand yourself, you need to connect with the one who is the highest of all, because then you have a relationship. You become like those who you're with. You know, Tony Robbins says, you know, the five people you hang out with, you become a sum total of them. So if you add God to your top five, you know, that's going to have a significant impact on your life. So we're bringing that into the training, you know, bring that factor in, really make that part of your life. And then you will be connected to your higher self, you'll be connected to your true essence. And you obviously, there's so many benefits of that, that how you feel changes. You no longer have all these negative thoughts. You actually have power that you need to make shifts in your life, to have the courage, to have the strength, to have the will, to have the control, to be able to let go of things. All the stuff that you want in this training becomes possible with this divine power. Mm-hmm. And frankly, none of it's really possible just with your ego trying to push forward. It has to be the opposite. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Go into those pure desires. Allow that power to work through you. And then anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, I feel that the probably the greatest benefit is the is the experience of this great love. Mm. Well, we're constantly reminded by all the real spiritual teachers. There's a discerning line here between pseudo spirituality and real spiritual teachings, that this is a great love affair here. Mm. And that this is it's a feeling experience, and it begins as a relationship with what we initially perceive as a higher power, and then it merges into an experience of a deeper part of oneself. And Jesus was a great teacher and embodiment of that way, and there's been lots of other individuals that have alluded to this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful transcendental experience. The poetry of Rumi is definitely replete with this intoxication of this love affair. So it feels really, 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 really good, and it's always there 24/7, and it's completely unconditional. And it's the best news ever, isn't
it, right? That's right. And it also is good for your physical health.
Absolutely.
Because the bliss that you get, the peace that you get, the relaxation you get is affecting your body, allows you to deal with life situations more easily. You don't get irritated with people as easily. You have a sense of calmness and serenity and love that you wouldn't mm-hmm. normally have. And so literally every single aspect of your life, from health to wealth to happiness to relationships, all is increased because your consciousness level increases, your power increases, your love increases, and that affects every single aspect of your life, every single moment of every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. There's nothing better than this.
Yeah. And just from my own personal experiences today, just being in town, doing some shopping, being in the supermarket, getting something to eat, observing my own experience and the experience of many people around me, and I couldn't help but just see the sadness and the emptiness in so many of these individuals that I came across today. And I was just looking at the stuff that there was on sale and around, even in the health food stores where I was as well, and watching and observing all these people just you know, eating the world and what the world has to offer, and was very, 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 very struck by the fact that their souls were yearning for some genuine nourishment. And I actually felt that myself. I thought I was hungry, and got a few little things, and just while I was eating my little picnic down there by the beach, I realized that it wasn't this food that I was after at all. It wasn't this substance, worldly substance, that I was after at all. So I just put it all down and just went into that beautiful communion, and was instantly nourished on a deeper level, and realized that this soul was yearning for some real spiritual nourishment. Yeah.
Mm. So are you ready to experience that for yourself and bring this element into your life more and more and more? And even if you have a spiritual practice, here's opportunity to go even deeper into that practice. So you're probably wondering how to tap into this beautiful energy, and what are you going to learn in this wonderful video. So we've got a few things that we're going to be talking about. In fact, we've got five things we're going to be talking about to clarify this so that you can really experience it and tap into it. So the first thing is, who am I? Who are you? Like, really, who are you? Who is it that's having a relationship with this being called God? God the Father, or the Great Spirit, the Divine, the Ocean of Love, there's so many words. Who are you, first of all? We've obviously talked about this before. We're going to go into a bit more detail so you can experience it. Second thing is, who is God the Father? Third thing is, where is God? Because if you want to have a relationship with a person, you want to know who they are and where they are, otherwise you can't connect with them, yeah? These are important questions. Then what is your relationship with this being? What is the relationship? How can you connect with this being? And then, once you've got all that worked out, how to actually have peace with the Father. What can you do? How can you live your life so that you're in alignment and there is peace with the Father? So these five things, a lot of this is secrets that people don't know about, or they're confused in some way, and we're hopefully going to clarify some things that are going to be very, very valuable to you. So before we get into all those sort of details, juicy stuff, we're going to talk a little bit of some of our own stories and experiences with this beautiful light, and that hopefully will benefit you. So, Brother Nicholas,
story time.
Story time.
Story time with Uncle Nick. Wow. Story. Personal experience. Well, I remember a time, it was about 10 years ago, when I first came to Cambridge in England, and I was on a little quest to deepen my meditation practice, and united with Brother Michael over here.
Brother Nicholas. Yeah.
And started to hang around with individuals who knew the answers to those five questions, and began to change my mindset into something that in Sanskrit is termed man, man above, and that basically very simply means making my mind one with God's mind. In a lot of Jesus' teachings, he talks about not my will be done, but thy will be done. So, just adjusting my way of being and thinking, which had been very individual and egocentric, born out of years and years and years of looking after myself and having to fend for myself and doing things my way and traveling all over the world and being very successful in that way of being and living a very wild and free life that had a sort of rebelling against the system flavor to it. And I thought I was doing very well at the time, and had all these accomplishments and achievements that I was very proud of, but there was a kind of an emptiness and a yearning for something more. So when I came into this enclave of individuals who knew the answers to these questions and who were orienting their hearts and minds to this great and higher way of being, I slipped into that and got into the practice in earnest for a couple of years, 2.5 years, something like that. And from time to time, and during this whole experience, I would have eruptions of rebellion against this ascetic ashram, austere lifestyle that we were all committed to, crammed into this little terraced house in England. Four guys living together. Four stroke five guys living together in this little place, and not much the wilds of nature around, which I'd been very used to. So every now and again, I would just fling myself out of this environment and go charging off into some utopian dream world, which usually involved beautiful beaches and gorgeous women and surf, and would just go and go on one of my surfing adventures. And this happened several times. Once I went to Lanzarote, and I thought I was going to be there for around about 6 weeks. And I remember the first day I got there, the first night, landed and was reunited with some old friends and slept outside in my favorite volcano underneath all the stars, and got up in the morning just before the dawn and went down to the beach to see fabulous surf and breaking in the rainbows of the rising sun coming over the distant hills. Paddle out with so much joy in my heart, my best friends with me, and to have what I was hoping would be an epic surf session. But as soon as the local boys arrived, the locals that lived there, and they started surfing as well, the whole atmosphere changed in the water. The mindset, the level of consciousness, that whole way of being that was bringing in so much energy and defining very much the atmosphere of the surroundings became to me instantly repulsive. So much so that even though it was great surf and absolutely fabulously beautiful, it was just impossible to stay in the water. And I just paddled out and just went and found a little place to be alone for a while. Very, very, very strong experience that dramatically illustrated how powerful it is to be with individuals that are in this man above state of being and orient their minds and hearts in that way, and how it creates such a wonderful atmosphere that once you've devoted yourself to living in that way, it becomes agony to live in other atmospheres. And so I cut my stay over there very, very short, and I think I was back in Cambridge within a few days after that. The same thing happened a few months or a year or so later when I went off to Costa Rica this time, and just went off on, just threw myself into the jungle, anything to get out of this house with all these mad yogis that were purifying my soul with their presence and their practice. And I was back in there within 2 weeks.
I think you were back in 6 days.
Was I back in six
days? Yeah, you were supposed to go for like 2 months. Yeah. I think it was under a week and you were back. Under a week.
To Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So I remember when I got back from one of those times, coming in and looking into, I can't remember whether it was your eyes or one of the brother's eyes, and just being recognized, having someone see me, look at me as a soul, and not projecting onto me from their ego, just as a person. And the difference, it was just like the floodgates were open. There was so much nourishment coming into my being because of that experience, that it was just so fulfilling. And I was very glad to get that food again. Man above. Mm. Yum, yum, yum.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've had, you know, similar experiences. In fact, I wouldn't mind getting my mother on here briefly, because she's visiting at the moment here, and she got me into meditation, and what we're talking about is Raja Yoga meditation, which you can find out more, I'm sure. But basically, when I was, you know, I've shared this story before, I used to just smoke lots of weed. Interested just in parties and self-indulgence and gluttony and music and random, you know, just cool arty musical cool things, but it was basically hedonistics and gluttonous, indulgent, usual teenage stuff. And anyway, my mother was such an inspiration to me, because I could see the change that she went through when she started practicing my manabhava. And I knew it was good stuff, but I didn't want to give up what I was doing, so I wasn't interested. But when I did finally agree to her telling me a bit more about what she was doing, 4 years after she started doing it, it literally changed my life, because I discovered who I was, that I'm a spiritual being. And then when I started practicing the meditation, I remember having one particular experience that really catalyzed everything. I was sitting on a chair, and I just had this this sense that this massive ocean of love, like this waterfall, like I was under a waterfall, just hammered me, like with this love energy, powerful. And it was so powerful that I almost fell off the chair. I had to hold on to the sides of the chair because it was just like so strong. And that was, I would say, my first experience with God. And I was like, this can't have just been me, because I don't normally sit here on a chair and just get hammered with this powerful love experience. So powerful that I nearly fall over. So I was like, all right, this is real deal here. And that confirmed to me what I was doing and the power of it. And then since then, I've just been developing this more and more and more, and just surrender, understand it more intellectually so that I can practice it, and then just experience, really feel it. And that really is the only thing that nourishes me, quite honestly. I'm disinterested in most things just because they seem entirely pointless. But the real nourishment comes from this spiritual experience, this spiritual connection. And there's so many spiritual teachings and so many different things, but just leaving aside all that stuff and just being soul conscious and just surrendering to that beautiful light, breathing it in, just breathing in that beautiful light and then breathing out those blessings into the world. And that to me is just paradise right there. And that's the only thing that actually nourishes me. And when I try and get stuff from people, you know, from stuff, from achieving things, it doesn't work anymore. And I actually start feeling depressed if I try and get my happiness from the world rather than from the source, you know. So it's like we can either go to the creator or we can go to creation. Mm-hmm. And trying to get from the creation leads to misery. Mm-hmm. And so I've just come down to realize that I have no choice except constantly go back to the creator, experience that, and then allow the creator to work through me. Mm-hmm. And affect creation. And that's basically why we're doing this training, that's why we do everything we do, is just to allow that energy to come through us and really get that nourishment. And of course, this comes with tremendous challenges to the ego. It comes with emotional eruptions, it comes with all sorts of freakouts and dramas and all sorts of other things as we become purified. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through so many of those experiences in the last 15 years, too many to count. And I've got all sorts of stories of my personal madness and dramas, which I'm sure would fascinate and bore you at the same time. And we're all going through these kind of things on a regular basis. But even though that happens, it's got to be done, because we need to let go of this stuff. So if you start freaking out and going and losing it because of what we're teaching you in this video, it's a good sign, and you get a round of applause from us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fascinating alchemical process of purification of your psyche. And this is not a little thing. It makes purification of the physical body look like an absolute picnic in the park. And anyone that's ever done any hardcore cleansing or fasting knows that that is a pretty intense experience and can become very, very, very intense, overwhelming, and in many cases can kill you. Lots of people die when they try and cleanse themselves too quickly. And in fact, the easiest way to kill anyone is just to stop them eating their usual junky food and just let the body cleanse itself. And if their organs are clogged up enough, then the toxicity in the blood will get to such a high level that it will kill them in no time at all. So that's just physical detoxification. So just let's consider what we're talking about here when we're talking about purifying the soul. We're talking about lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and layers and layers and layers of ancestral and generational vibratory content that is disharmonious and toxic. And you are tapping into the purest power within creation, in life itself, the essence of life itself. You're tapping into that, and that definitely creates massive upheaval within your own psyche, emotional upheaval. And the nature of the times is such that life is demanding this purification. And if we consider the possibility that consciousness is a singularity, and that individuated points of consciousness, individual souls within that oneness, people like you, individuals like you, who are stepping up to the plate and really putting themselves into a position where they are prepared to purify, then a tremendous amount of collective energy, collective psychic content can come through you to be released. It's like a pressure release valve, because so many people are suppressing and repressing their dark psychic content, their internal toxicity, and not going in there and really clearing out that muck. That the pressure that's building in there is absolutely phenomenal now, and getting more and more and more. And so we, individuals like us, are almost like release valves, pressure release valves. And so what I've been experiencing just lately is extraordinary intensity on the inner planes. And I feel that that's going to be getting more and more and more. And so the necessity of practicing these very simple, potent practices, Man Manabhav, soul consciousness, Nizche, the things that we've been talking about, we're going to talk about more today, are becoming increasingly critical in these fascinating times that we're living in.
And if you're wondering, you know, well, if there's all this drama going on and what you're teaching us is going to make even more drama, I just want to clarify that this actually is reducing the amount of drama and craziness you're going to have to deal with, even though it might temporarily be like a detox. Because, like, a lot of people on a physical cleanse, they might, you know, have all kinds of terrible health problems if they don't do the cleansing. So they do the cleansing, they go through the process, it's unpleasant, but then they come out the other end healthier, stronger, and in much better form to deal with the rest of their life. Yeah. So you're choosing to purify yourself, to become pure, so you don't need to have organs failing on you. You don't need to have financial ruin. You don't need to have emotional dramas. You don't need to have mental illnesses to wake you up. So you're getting a homeopathic dose of what otherwise would be extreme dose. So I'm just clarifying that with you so that you realize that you're mainly getting, by the way, just to be clear, most of it is happiness and peace and love and bliss. Like, when you experience God, it's not unpleasant at all. It's just your ego doesn't like truth very much, so it wants to stop you doing it. But the actual experience and the practice itself is extremely blissful and pleasurable.
Yeah.
It's the only the part that doesn't want it that you're having a problem with. So if you surrender that other part, then it's all bliss.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going for.
Yeah. And also, one of the other, the flip side of this, the intensity that comes from this process, is it really gives you an experience of what it means to be truly alive. Mm. When you're dealing with this degree of power, this degree of intensity, you're able to live from such depth within yourself, and you begin to see the world as such a meaningless, superficial, just scratching like a bunch of chickens on the surface in materialistic survival. And it becomes very, 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 very obvious how superficial it all is and what a facade this world is. And so that sort of, it's like an initiation through that intensity. But what it does is it allows you to live from that depth and meaning, get in touch with some real meaning and purpose in your life, and really get a feel for how much power you actually have and how much power there really is in life. Mm-hmm. And when you start feeling these psychic upheavals, these emotional upheavals, the depth that they're coming from, the intensity and the magnitude of the way these feelings and thoughts move through you, you really get a feel for what it means to really be dealing with your real true power, and what the power of God is, and what life really has in store for you, and who you truly are. And even though it might feel unpleasant as you're going through any of detoxification experiences, there's going to be a challenging part to it. It's part of the initiation. This is just the way of things, and it's because we've been living for so long out of sync with who we truly are, and there's a karmic backlog of this. And even though the grace is there to wash it all away, and the power is there to purify it all, we have to choose to put ourselves into that position within ourselves, with the orientation of our attitude, the orientation of our awareness, moment to moment to moment to moment. And that's why the breath, we emphasize the breath and staying anchored into that mindset. And of course we're going to fluctuate, and that's where we feel these discordant feelings. And it's the chastisement of the Lord in religious terminology. We have to know the heat of the fire to really appreciate what fire is. If we stand way back from there, yeah, it all looks pretty and wonderful, but you step a bit closer to that thing, you really get to feel what fire is. So we're talking about the fire of God here, and it's a very, very, very powerful thing. Mm. And so we welcome, I remember that beautiful little quote from one of the Babas, I'm not sure which one, talking about how when we experience this suffering, we should we should be glad. And it says in the Bible, rejoice in your tribulation, because this is these waves that are coming through, it means that the shore is near. There wouldn't be waves if we weren't near the shore. So rather than blame God or put the blame on the Lord or the Heavenly Father or everything, take responsibility. This is just our karma being purified, and let's rejoice in that and take those breaths and be steadfast in our focus and really get real and man up, cowboy up, as the cowboys say, take it on the chin. This is what warriors do, and surrender and really tap into that juice. And then we can get that smooth sailing going very, very quickly. But this is a moment-to-moment-to-moment thing. It's not like, the Orthodox Christians, the fundamental Christians, think, you're just baptized, in a particular way and that's it. Jesus has saved you, it doesn't matter what you do now, everything's sweet. It's not like that at all. Jesus never said anything like that. None of those great spiritual teachers ever did or ever will do. It's up to you to apply these principles, apply these methods at all moments, in any moment that you're feeling out of sync, or when the pressure's on, or you're feeling, you know, overwhelmed. There is a way to tap in and liberate yourself from that in any moment, any time, any place, anywhere.
That's right. This is bliss on tap. This is the remover of sorrow, bestower of happiness. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to cause you sorrow. It's going to liberate you from sorrow.
Yeah.
Permanently, for a long, long, long period. So let's get to it then.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. So who am I? Ask yourself that question. Let's just close our eyes and just say that to ourselves. Who am I? Now the answer to that is in a feeling. In truth, from the ego standpoint, from the persona standpoint, we can intellectualize about this, we can philosophize about this, and we can give you some very, 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 very good and clear guidelines into helping you experience the answer to that. But the answer to that is a great mystery that reveals itself through an eternal journey. And herein lies the wonder of life. But what we can say in this superhero training, the whole foundation of it, what underpins everything, is that I am soul. Now, what does that mean? Well, from my perspective, what it means is that I am an individuated point of consciousness. I'm like a tiny, infinitesimally small point of light. And within it is the infinite and the eternal. Literally all possibilities, all potentialities. I'm an eternal being that can never, ever, ever be destroyed. And the experience that I have spirals out from that point like a vortex, like a hurricane. And within that great vortex, within that great portal of infinite possibility, I invest my spirit and I bring to life experiences and realities and lifetimes and relationships and all of the details of my possible experience is in there. Now, these times that we're in at the moment, and the reason why we emphasize in the superhero training this connection with the epicenter of your own inner being, is because all of those creations that the soul has projected into its sphere of influence, into its portal of possibility, all of those creations are based on a false sense of self, based on a false sense of self. Not on soul consciousness, but on body consciousness. Not on soul consciousness, but on ego consciousness. All of the creations of that are being dissolved and dismantled now by the forces of life. It's the end of a great cycle, and the blackboard is being wiped clean. And if we're stuck in there, in this false sense of self, and invested still in this misconception of who we are, this over-identification with the physicality and not with the soul, this false sense of self, then we're going to hurt. We're really going to feel that. And so that's why in the early and constantly throughout this program, we emphasize this attitude of forgiveness and ho'oponopono po'ono. Because what you're doing there is you're liberating yourself. Forgiveness is the solvent that dissolves the glue that keeps you stuck in all these diverse fragments and fractalized bits of yourself and all these discordant attitudes and feelings that are within the history, within your subconscious, your unconscious, some of your memories. All of these things can be dissolved, and you can detach from those through the power of forgiveness. That's why we've emphasized that, you know, a lot right from the beginning of this course, to give you the ability to self-liberate from there. But now, what we're doing here with Man Man and Bab is we're centering in soul consciousness and connecting through relationship and experience with the power behind it all, right in the epicenter of our own inner being. And this is a wonderful, extremely powerful experience, which Brother Michael just happens to be your favourite subject, doesn't it, Brother?
That's right. And just a couple of thoughts about this, just to make it super clear, the difference between this ego consciousness, body consciousness, you know, person consciousness, and on the other hand, soul consciousness. Because, you know, some people don't really know what we're even talking about here. What is this ego consciousness? What is it to be false? So basically, all that is going on right now is that you are a spirit, you are a soul, you are a divine light, you are eternal, you are the witness, you are the observer, you are the one who is experiencing everything, including your body and everything else. And that's who you are. And the body itself isn't experiencing anything itself. It doesn't have the ability to experience stuff by itself, because you're the one experiencing through the body. So if you're breathing, who's feeling the breath? The soul is feeling the breath, because the soul is the one who is experiencing it. If it's hot, you are feeling hot. So you say, I hurt my finger, I cut my finger. Don't hit my head because it hurts me. You know, I have a headache. Okay? Because you are a soul feeling those things through your body. Now, most people are body conscious. In fact, about pretty much everyone is body conscious. We ourselves are transcending this, but we also have to work on it ourselves. And this body consciousness is the plague that has destroyed the world, you could say. That's why there's so many wars. That is why there's such a mess going on. It's because of this body consciousness. So, in essence, we need to disassociate our sense of me and I away from this thing that we can see in the mirror. You know, do I look good? Do I look good? Is my necklace just right? Is my hair just right? You know, well, of course, we can. You know, we don't want to be looking slack and like not caring about things, but not to think this is me. So soul consciousness is to come back into truth, come back into what is really going on here, which is that you are an eternal being. You're going to leave your body and you'll still be alive. If you were to die today, physically die, you'd be perfectly fine. You'd just be watching it from above if you left your body. And there's many, many out-of-body experiences people have all the time with car accidents and various experiences. So you are that witness. So we need to let go of all this, you know, am I good enough? Am I attractive enough? You know, what does this person think about me? Blah, 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 blah. And just become that beautiful divine being of love and peace and bliss that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And this really is the biggest challenge of a superhero. If you get this one thing sorted out, the rest of it is taken care of, really and honestly. This fundamental wrong identification is the problem that has trashed everything. So if you want paradise in the world, the first thing to do is to just turn this around. We haven't talked about this in great detail. We've been on about this right from the beginning, but not everyone can handle this straight up. So we've had to gradually build this up so that you can understand these things. That's why we're saying more today. And we're going to be talking more about this, because this is the most important thing. So become soul conscious and renounce body consciousness. And we're going to talk more about that as we go through this video.
That's but right.
For now, should we...
I just wanted to... just want to invite Brother Michael to lead us in an experience, right? But just before I do that, I just wanted to pick up on something that you just mentioned there. One of the... If you notice how the political commentators, the political leaders, particular political manipulators work. They've created a scenario in the world where body-conscious individuals' survival is threatened. They've created a threatening society with economically unstable, with the threat of diminishing resources, environmental breakdown and destruction, war, and all of these things, and jobs, becoming less and less and less. And so individuals' apparent survival is being threatened all over the place. And this is a strategy implemented by the dark side to keep eternal souls in a state of fear and terrified that they're not going to survive. But you don't have to be frightened that you're not going to survive, because you're an eternal soul. Yeah. What we need to do is to practice the experience of that, so that you know for sure that you are. You're having the experience of that, and then you can carry on in the world doing the best that you can, using this incredible power that you're having an experience of immersion with, union with, communion with, and then you're living in the grace of that, which creates magic, because the grace, the power of God, transcends the world. It's greater than the world. It can offset every single thing that any of the political manipulators and the architects of control and this matrix that so many of us that are trapped in body consciousness are bound up in, like flies stuck on sticky flypaper. It can offset everything in there, so you live in grace, and you can experience miraculous experiences. One good example of this is that the only building in that withstood, that was within a couple of miles of the epicenter of the blast when they dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima in the Second World War, the only building that was absolutely intact and everything else was completely and utterly devastated around it was a convent. And no one in the convent was injured, and the building was completely intact. So that's just one of many, 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 many examples where individuals with a certain orientation of their consciousness, their awareness, and their attitude in terms of what they were emanating into the field were completely and utterly protected by the grace of this Heavenly Father. And so this is really, really, really good news. And we want to be constantly, over and over and over and over and over, immersing ourselves in the experience of this. So, Brother Michael, would you be good enough to lead us, Brother, in an experience of soul consciousness and Manabhava? Would you, Brother?
Please? Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yes,
So we're going to go deeper and deeper into this during this video. It's a bit of a long video today, but you are getting goodies, so enjoy this. First of all, let's just take a few breaths. And just notice your breath. Notice your breath becoming more and more deep and nourishing. And just allowing the shoulders to relax. You may notice them relaxing a little bit more and more. And noticing your jaw muscles may be relaxing. The soul are witnessing, are watching your body. So just watch the breath, noticing the chest gradually expanding and contracting with the breath as the breath comes in. As you breathe out, it's a little bit warmer. Noticing where you feel most peaceful right now. And noticing yourself and noticing your body. Noticing how you feel emotionally. and just letting go, falling away, and just imagine that you are eternal. How would you feel if you could never die? You could never ever die, and nothing could ever kill you, nothing could ever hurt you. How would you feel? Imagine you've been sprinkled with the magic dust and you're now immortal. Totally immortal. You have infinite life. You are a being of powerful light and you are immortal. How would you feel? You may notice a little smile on your face. At this eternity. And allow this light that you are to expand, to become stronger and stronger, brighter and brighter. You are the light. There is light all around, breathing in the light, breathing out the light, being absorbed, merged in this peaceful light. With each breath, letting go, and becoming absorbed and merged in peace, merged in light. Total peace and silence. Vast expanse of peace. If there's any sounds, any noises, they just take you deeper and the light becomes brighter. And just surrender completely to being light. Light penetrates in all directions and you just become absorbed in divine peace. Totally free, floating, flying in this beautiful, peaceful light. Totally safe, completely secure. Absolutely at peace with all things. Absolute perfection here and now and forever. And you just notice yourself watching the body, the person that you used to think you were. You see it as some other person, just some character. You know, a sense of amusement looking at the person. This person, whatever the name is, the name, the form, all the stuff that has to be done, all the relationships. You see it as some funny cartoon, some funny all the stuff. Opera. Just look at it all with a sense of humour. It's all small, it's all on the TV, it's all a bit absurd. And you are the light, watching, witnessing, and enjoying this absurd, wonderful experience that you call life. And so that little taste, though, just come back into the awareness of the body, looking around where you are, and just seeing this whole thing as a very small and amusing playground.
One of the most important things to understand, and what helps us relax into this experience, is that we are what we are. I am that I am, one of the oldest statements of God in the world, really, appearing in the Old Testament and being mirrored the root of Om, the Om, and Om Shanti, Soul I Am, Eternal Peace. I am that I am. You are what you are, and you can't improve on that. This isn't a course to improve you. It's a course for you to dissolve who you are not and surrender into who you eternally are. So that soul consciousness, the experience of man, man above, is an opportunity for you to know that. And the Nizchay that we've talked about over and over and over, that concentrated faith, according to your faith, so shall it be. The Nizchay is the certainty, the knowingness that pins you in there, that nails you in there, into that epicenter of your own being. You need tremendous faith, tremendous certainty, the knowingness of who you are. And especially if you've been body conscious for a long time, and you've had a tough time in your life, especially early on. Your self-esteem, the way you feel about yourself, how you relate, how you identify yourself, has been hammered and misshapen. And so the knowingness gets you back in touch with the center at the roots of your being. And you can access these wonderful states of consciousness that were already there virtually instantaneously. And never more than a breath away. And again, I want to repeat this necessity to constantly bring yourself back there, bring yourself back, bring yourself back, bring yourself back. Practice, 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 returning to this wonderful state of being that Brother Michael just helped us into.
So the next thing we need to talk about, this is a very deep video today, is who is God? And on our previous section of this, we were talking about who are you. So you are an eternal being of light and peace and bliss, and you are an individual point of light, an eternal spirit, an eternal soul, eternal energy, living being, and you have within you all these wonderful experiences of life that you are experiencing now. And so who is God? Now, before we talk more about this, we just need to talk a little bit about what are the concepts of God that are around. And probably the most prevalent concept, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is something that you've picked up. I certainly was thinking along these lines until I learned otherwise, and this is what most religions teach, definitely the New Age movement, it's basically everywhere. And it's this notion that God is omnipresent, that God is in everything, everywhere, and is just like inside me, inside my body, inside of everything and everywhere, all the time, and everywhere in the universe. And so that's one thing, right? And then along with that, the concept is that God is, if it rains, God is making it rain. If it's hot, God is bringing the sun. If there's a massive flood, God did the flood. If you won the lottery, God made you win the lottery. If you had the best day ever, God made you have the best day ever. If you had the worst day ever, God made you have the worst day ever. So this is somehow this kind of, God is everywhere on one hand, and God is doing everything on the other hand, and God is doing all the good things, and God is doing all the bad things. That essentially sums up a big chunk of what most people think of God. And you might see in there's some complication there, because if you're trying to call out to God to help you, but God is everywhere and God is doing everything to you, good and bad things, it's a bit hard to connect with something that's in everything and is everywhere, you know? Like, for example, if I wanted to meet Brother Nick here.
Hello, Nick.
I would need to know who he is, first of all, and secondly, where he is. Because if I want to talk to him, if I want to meet him personally, I was sitting next to him like I am now, I'm going to have to say, find out, can I have an appointment to talk to you, Brother Nicholas? If I was living in England, I'd have to come all the way here so that I could sit next to Nick. Then I could have a connection with Nick, or I could talk to him on the phone or send him an email or something. But I need to know who he was and where he was to have that connection. So this was a profound realization for me, to realize that God being omnipresent, there's a nice expression, omnipresence is a feeling, not a fact. Okay, so for example, there are cell phone waves floating around in this room right now. Okay, there are, you know, radio waves floating through the room. We can't see any of these things, but we could pick them up. Yeah, there is Wi-Fi in this room. Okay, we can go online. I can't see the Wi-Fi, I can't see the radio waves, I can't see the cell phone waves. And there's probably all sorts of other waves that we can't see as well. But if you've got the right equipment, you can tune in and you can pick it up and you can have the experience. I can watch a Netflix movie, you know, through the Wi-Fi. We had to have a whole thing, but where is it coming from exactly? It's floating around in the air, but it's originating somewhere. Like if I'm watching a movie on here, watching YouTube, where is YouTube? It started off somewhere else. It went through various things, went through various bits of equipment, and now has ended up here because I have the technology to connect with it. But it originated somewhere else, like a broadcasting station, a TV station, radio station, a cell phone station. They all are in a particular place, broadcasting the energy. So in the same way, we can experience God's divine light and love and bliss anywhere in the whole universe, but God is actually somewhere giving out those vibrations. Just like the sun is somewhere, but we experience sunshine, you know, every day we experience sunshine. But some days there's clouds in front of the sun, and we might think there's not much sun around. But actually, the sun is just as strong as it always is. There's clouds in the way. So I remember when we were in England, bro, we were always complaining, there's no sun, right? But it's not that there's no sun, there's loads of sun. It's just that we're stuck underneath these clouds. So what we need to do is to be experiencing this light is firstly understand that God is not just randomly everywhere. You can experience God everywhere, but God is actually in a particular place, and you can have a relationship with this being just like I can have a relationship with Nick. Yeah, that's a very, 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 very significant difference. If there is just this random energy, that's a bit of a random relationship you're having. But if it's a relationship of a friend, relationship of a father, relationship of a mother, connection from heart and soul, someone you can relate to, someone you can talk to, someone you can connect with, it's very, very deep and much more to the point, rather than just randomly connecting to some energy. And so first thing is to know that you can connect with God like a friend, like a friend or a father or a lover.
A lover, a mother.
A mother, you know,
a comforter.
There's all these beautiful relationships that we have with human beings that we can have with God, and that is the most wonderful version of all those relationships, the most nourishing and the purest form of all those things. So we need to get over this thing that God is randomly everywhere flowing around and say, no, this is a real being that I can actually connect with on a deep level, just like I can connect with another person. And that brings it close, that brings God close to us, it brings it home. So you can call God into your heart, life, into your soul, because this is a personal connection. And there's nothing really as nourishing as that. And one of the most important relationships to have with this being is the relationship of the purifier, because we souls have gradually become a little bit mad, as I'm sure you're aware, and we obviously haven't been able to purify ourselves very well. And despite all the religions and all the stuff, we've still had a bit of a hard time getting it together. So now we need to basically accept humbly that we can't do this on our own, that we have to become soul conscious and then surrender the experience that we're having, give up all our positionalities, give up our ego, give up trying to be right, give up all our ideas, and just surrender to that beautiful purifying energy, the divine light. Have that relationship with some being who wants to purify us. And that is really the essence of all of it. That is the best and most important relationship at this time. But then, of course, God is our friend, God is our father, mother, and we can have that personal connection. Now, you might be wondering, why is it that a lot of people, you know, praying and doing all sorts of stuff, but they're not having the juice, you know? A lot of people go to church, a lot of people are into spirituality, into meditation, they're not having the experience. Why is that? Well, the main reason is, like, if you think of the sun comes down, but there might be clouds, so you're not experiencing the sunshine. It's the same thing with the relationship with God. The body consciousness, the ego consciousness, the wanting to be right, the want, I want God to give me a car, I want this, blah, blah, blah. All that ego, all that wrong perception of ourselves creates clouds and cuts us off from experiencing that. So the secret to all this, which hardly anyone knows about and hardly anyone talks about, is you have to become soul conscious first. Give up all the ideas of being a person, the ideas of, you know, I know everything about everything, the ideas that you know, I've got all these relationships and thinking about other people and all this stuff and thinking about your business and thinking about everything. You have to renounce everything, become soul conscious, then you can connect with God, because God is a divine being who is connecting with your soul, is not connecting with your ego. So this is a very, 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 very crucial factor that makes all the difference, is that your relationship is the soul with the Supreme Soul, soul and God, not your ego and God. And this is an extremely important distinction that makes the difference between getting the juice or just sitting there in the morning going, oh my God, what am I doing? What's this meditation? And freaking out about it.